Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
I wanted to go over that college thing that I posted today, because I think that was pretty good. And I think this applies well to guys in college. It also applies well to guys that have a really strong social circle. And one of the problems with, well, having a social circle, I think, is the best way to go about, you know, finding people, dating. It's always easier to meet girls through your friends or vice versa. And that's traditionally how most people have always met someone. You know, you meet people through your friends. But if you don't have a social circle, then you're kind of forced to use online dating or approach girls during the day or go out to bars and clubs. But that can be difficult because you don't have that third-party validation. You know, if you know a girl through another girl, she's obviously going to feel like you're safe because you have the mutual friend. Just like if you go to buy a cola at a convenience store and you see Coke and then you see generic brand cola, you're probably going to buy the Coke because you know what's in it. You know what's good. And that's typically what happens with dating. If you have a friend of a friend, then you know she's probably normal. She's not crazy. She knows you're normal, not a serial killer. It's a lot easier to make connections that way. One of the problems, I think, with guys in college is they don't really understand that traditional dating advice doesn't really apply to them. So they think, oh, I need to be going out on dates. You know, I'm in college now. Or even high school. Some high school guys think, oh, I need to go on dates because everyone talks about dates. I know I even thought that when I was like 17. Like, oh, I wonder when I'll go on a date. Which is retarded because going on dates is really, really kind of weird when you're that young. It's just uncomfortable. It's awkward, especially if you're under 21 and you can't go out for a drink. Or even worse, if you don't have a driver's license and you can't drive, you know, a place like New York, that doesn't matter. Now you can just take Uber everywhere, which is better for dating anyways. But Scotty, I'm guessing that, you know, this idea of taking girls on dates was kind of awkward for you. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, I've only done it once and it was weird.
Yeah, like you had to figure out how old she is. Can she drink? You know, you have a fake ID. Does she have a fake ID? All that shit, right?
Yeah.
So it dawned on me when you're, you know, in a social circle type of situation like college, and most of the time you meet girls that are what, at frat parties or other people's parties, right? You're not really going to the bar as much, are you?
Usually bars sometimes are fraternity parties or like pre-games.
Right.
That's like 98% probably.
Yeah. And so it's all, you know, people you know, friends of friends, fellow students, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it makes sense when you're older to go on dates. You know, you meet a girl at a bar, you take her on a date. You meet a girl at a coffee shop or you meet a girl hiking or whatever, you take her on a date. That's normal. But if you meet a girl through a social situation, it's awkward to go on a date. Instead, there's basically two things that could happen. So, you know, when you're out partying, you're either going to meet at the party, or you're going to meet a girl at the party, and you're either going to hook up with her that night. And if you hook up with her that night, then, and she enjoys hooking up, you'll probably just continue hooking up with her, right? So she'll either come over late night in college. It's probably going to be more like a booty call. And it'll, in a relationship in college, it's kind of typically turns into like, oh, we're hanging out, we're fucking, and then we're continually fucking, hanging out with our friends, and now we're in a relationship. That's how that kind of goes, right? So you either meet at a party, you fuck the night, then you booty call, and then that could turn a relationship, or you meet at a party, you don't fuck that night, or you don't hook up that night, and if you don't hook up with her that night, then you're better off inviting her out to some sort of group thing. If you try to get her out on a date, that's where the awkwardness comes in, because she's like, oh, I don't know, do I really want to go on a date? Like, I've never really gone on a date, or I've only gone on like two dates and they were weird, maybe they were with older guys, who knows? So you're better off just inviting her to another event that, or just seeing her at another event. And then as you keep going, right, if you see her at the next event, if she still likes you, odds are she'll come back and hook up with you. And then you're back on that same program. Then you're back on the, you know.
I don't think it wasn't my intention to, like, take her on a date. I think I just tried to skip the whole hangout thing, go straight to booty call, but that obviously didn't work out.
Yeah. When I say booty call, I just mean informal hooking up. Like, hey, come over. Yeah. We're going to Netflix and chill. Right. Or, we'll grab a coffee or we'll grab an ice cream and go back to my dorm and bang it out. And those can turn into relationships if you continue seeing the girl, like, on a, you know, multiple times per week basis. That's going to quickly turn into a relationship. But otherwise, you know, if you just meet girls out doing the social things you're doing, if you hook up with them, great. Then you see them at the next one, you hook up with them there. Or if you don't, right, then you see them at the next one and you hook up with them after the next one. So you never really need to be going on dates. You shouldn't be going on dates. You shouldn't be inviting girls out to one-on-one things unless you've already hooked up with them. And it's easy and natural. So you can eliminate dating from your arsenal.
That's relieving to hear.
And you don't have to figure out a time when she's free. It's more about, right, you meet a girl, you're hitting her off with her. Either you hooked up with her or you don't. But same thing, you add her on social media. You get her on Snapchat, Instagram, and you stay top of mind by just going about your everyday life and, you know, snapping about at the parties that you're at, posting funny Instagrams or good stuff that highlights what you're doing. And you can tell who's interested because those girls will be liking your posts, following you, watching your stories. And then it's very simple to send them a message, probably on Snapchat. I mean, Snapchat's so popular for college kids. Be like, hey, are you going to this, that, and that? Are you going to this party? Yeah, cool, awesome, see you there. Oh, we're having a little pregame at my house before this thing. Come over, bring your friends. So it's really informal. She can bring her friends. You can bring your friends if, you know, it's the pressure's off. And you're way more likely to hook up if that's the case. So that's why it's great to be hosting lots of things at your apartment. And that's why it's really important to have lots of cool friends. Because if you're all doing that, if you guys are all running this strategy together, which you should be, you're not really running much of a strategy, you're just, you know, all doing the thing that's normal. You should have so much crossover, and they're in frats and, you know, different frats, and so you have all the access to sororities, and you guys should be planning out these pre-games or these parties at your house. You should have like a weekly thing or like a weekly dinner, you know, on a night where it's not likely to have something else. And everyone should just be inviting all the girls they can over all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we do that like decently frequently, but I'd say it's usually Will who initiates it the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's perfect. If he does it, that's makes your life easier. And for guys who aren't in college, this is still the optimal dating strategy because social circle is always the best thing. So even if you're not in college, if you're single, find cool roommates who are social and just run this scenario out in whatever city you're in. But you can add in the dating mix if you want to, but it's still lower pressure if you meet a girl to be like, hey, come to my, I'm having a little house party, come over, bring your friends. If she's semi into you, she'll probably come to that if she has nothing to do. But if she's semi into you and you ask her out on a date, you can pretty much guarantee she's going to flake. Only a girl who's really into you will usually show up on a date unless she doesn't really have any other dating options and she's a little bit desperate. But if she's hot, odds are she has tons of dating options all the time. So it doesn't matter what age you are, that should be what you're doing. Dates are always a little bit more forced and unnatural versus, you know, meeting people through friends and hanging out over time and having those relationships turn into something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have that many. This is Joey. I don't really have that much extra to add. I mean, that's completely true, especially from my college experience. If I had figured that out, that would have been a lot better. So, yeah, no, it's definitely true.
Were you doing you like trying to do dates and stuff back in college? I mean, you were working with me a little bit at the end, I remember.
At the very end, yeah. So I was kind of still trying to do that at the end because Well, I, throughout the whole thing, I just basically didn't know what I was doing.
It's okay at the end, typical, you know. Your senior year, when most guys turn 21, it's fine to switch to dates because you're going to be meeting girls at the local bars, right? It's not as good, but it's a lot more. It's normal. Like if you meet a girl at a bar, it's more natural to be like the next date's at a bar than hey, come over to my house. Right, because she might feel like, oh, you're gonna lure me over to some rape cave, right? So she might not feel comfortable coming to your house.
That's fair.
Or she might not feel comfortable like meeting all of your friends, right? If you meet a girl at a frat, and she saw you with your friends, and you saw her with her friends, and she knows your friends are, you know, cool, and you know her friends are cool, and you know, even if you didn't interact with them, you see the type of people she's hanging out with. If they're attractive, look like her, vice versa, she sees the guys you're hanging out with, it's going to feel more natural for her to want to come over with her friends. Like, oh, he has cute friends, I have my cute friends, because this could be a win-win-win, right? But if you just meet her at a bar and she doesn't see anyone you're with and you only see one person she's with, or, you know, then it might be more awkward to invite her over to some event or to your house or to some pregame, right?
I mean, I guess I would, I don't know. I never have had really that much luck with that at all. I would say it would be more group type. Oh, let's go out. Let's meet at this bar. Me and my friends are going out. I would say I'd have more success with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I, for whatever reason, maybe I'm just, you know, whatever, maybe it's me, maybe it's LA, maybe it's something, but, I would say even a group thing, I didn't have any, like, I don't know, I would go out and do mad approaches and get crushed. Maybe it's for any variety of reasons, but I would say doing the group thing would be even more likely than an actual date thing. But I don't know. That's just my initial thoughts on it. I never really had success getting chicks to take me out or to go out on a date with me.
No, you're right. It's just easier these days, especially as our culture kind of moves away from it. It's funny, like if you look at Tinder, they added Tinder Social to it, and that was a big change, because Tinder Social kind of allowed, it now allows and encourages girls who are out in groups to, rather than interact with guys at the bar, it encourages them to be on their phones and interact with other guys on Tinder who are out at the bars. Which is kind of crazy when you think about it, right? You're out at the bars to be social or whatever, and you're ignoring the people there who are already there to find people online. You know, what's his name? Who's the guy that just posted that podcast? He was bitching about Roosh V, who posted that podcast on the death of Night Game, was complaining about how girls are always on their phone out in bars and clubs. And it's like, well, you know, that's the case, and you can bitch about it, or you can just learn to, you know, use that to your advantage by also being on the phone for a little while and seeing what's there, taking advantage of those opportunities on something like Tinder Plus or Happn or any of those location-based apps, right? If you see a girl on her phone on the app, you can walk up to her and show her the phone. That would be a pretty creative, kind of funny approach. And she would also get to see all of your third-party validations, mutual friends. So that's a lot more similar. It's less like a cold approach. And cold approach has the highest, you know, highest percentage of working. Cold approach has the lowest percentage of working. So anytime you can make it more warm, you're doing well. Any other thoughts on that that podcast?
Yeah, he's I mean, basically talking about, you know, how it was once easy, right? It was relatively easy to do cold approaches, and now it's more defensive. And he talked about the massive cock blocks and girls mainly staying to their social circle, and, you know, just people in general not as open to socializing, kind of playing it safe and just not having poor conversational skills, and basically saying, but if you just got into the game, you wouldn't know that. You just know.
And you always think back on the good old days, right? Oh, it was so much better back in the day, which is never really the case. You always tend to remember the things about why it was good if you're a normal, healthy individual with a slightly more glass half full versus glass half empty. You're going to usually remember the better things about it and forget about the annoying things. If I go back and put myself in Pacific Beach circa 2003 when I turned 21, which was right around that time when he was talking about the bar glory days, where he would go on the dance floor, go behind some girl, grind on her, make out with her, and that have a stupid little conversation. That was that. Sure, I remember those times. I remember one particular bar in particular called Typhoon Saloon, which shut down, thank God, because that place was a shithole. But that was my game. That's all I knew how to do. I didn't have any sort of conversation skills. I couldn't walk up to a random girl in a bar that I didn't know and strike up a conversation. That just seemed crazy. Like, what? Talk to someone you don't know in a bar? Who the fuck would do that? So I just go with my friends. We get really wasted, drink 10 Long Islands, and then go on the dance floor and either act like idiots or grind on girls and see what would happen. I don't even know, and he probably didn't know either what sort of conversations could be had because no one was having conversations. So it's easy to say.
And this was like he's going back of the day before, pickup was becoming well known. So
in 2003, I think is when the game came out. So that's when it got real big. 2003, 2005, right? So when that came out, it had a big effect on these bar nightclub scenarios because there's so many guys learning conversational game. And there's cockblocks back then too. There's cockblocks now. I think I would agree maybe there's more cockblocks now, but if you think in terms of the phones being cock blocks, but at the same time, like I posted about in Miami, you can certainly use it to your advantage. And it's great if you're talking to a girl who's on her phone at a bar or a club and you're starting to feel a little bit disrespected in a sense, like she's ignoring you because she's on her phone, then ask her, like, oh, you got to check out this funny picture I saw on Instagram. Engage with her phone. See what she's doing. No, don't be like, hey, let me see your phone, because that's weird. But try to engage with her on her phone, and that way you can even leave her and keep sending her messages or send her snaps or Instagram DMs while she's at the bar. And you're basically you're just deepening the relationship by doing that. It's a great strategy. So where you could bitch about, oh, I didn't get my chance to have a 2-hour conversation with her at the bar. If you're trying to meet a bunch of girls that night, it's even better. Now you can have 10 conversations at once on your phone while still talking to other girls. So there's, I think technology only brings about more opportunities versus less.
Because I mean, like you think about it, it's not just, you know, I refuse to acknowledge his name. But it's not just that guy. It's like you check the news media or, you know, just your any social media. You know, there's a lot of people just complaining about, you know, technology and, you know, the millennials texting and blah, 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 and how it's destroying conversation. Well, as valid as that point of view may be, you know, it's here. So, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Well, negative media gets more attention. Naming a podcast The Death of Night Game is what got me to listen to it in the first place. If he had named it Some Things I Recently Noticed About Night Game, I probably wouldn't have listened to it. Right? So unfortunately, the marketing that's skewed to the negative is what gets the eyeballs. And if the name of your game is getting eyeballs, then you have to utilize that as a strategy if you want to succeed. So I think he could have done a better job, though, of saying the death of night game, but then also maybe having a caveat under it saying and how to best, you know, deal with the changing of the tide. And quickly, in early on in the podcast, he could have said, all right, I'm going to name a bunch of things that are going to sound really bad and negative and like the sky is falling, but then I'm going to name more things that are going to make it even easier and better to use technology to your advantage and to deal with some of these challenges. Another thing that he talked about in that podcast, which I thought was great, was if you keep going to the same bar over and over and you're really not doing well there, then you should probably stop going because for whatever reason, it might not be a good venue for you.
Yeah. That venue thing was really good for me. He had like a mini rant towards the end on venues. Like he said, you know, even in the same part of town, like you could find yourself doing really well at one and like really poorly at one, like across the street. There's no reason to keep going to a venue that you do consistently poor at. And I was just reflecting on my own tenure at the bungalow. Granted, you know, there's definitely nights I went out there where I could have approached more, but just generally speaking, I mean, I feel like all the numbers I've gotten there are more or less worthless. I've never actually hooked up with anyone from there. So in my view, it's a bust.
Well, sometimes if you walk into a venue and you don't have good memories and you don't have good thoughts there, and that happens for anything, it can happen in golf, it can happen for hockey. Sometimes there's just golf courses I just suck at. I just never play well there. And I always try to make the analogy that dating is more of like a sport than it is like a exercise in, you know, school. It's more of a physical exercise than a mental exercise. So, you know, you just get to that golf course, you're like, fuck this course, I suck here. Same thing with bungalow, fuck this place, I don't do well here. And then there's other places where you just walk in, you just feel good, you feel at ease, and it just comes easy because people are really reacting to the vibe you're putting out and the amount of fun you're having, the energy you're exuding. So if you don't feel like you're having a good time, it's going to be really tough to connect with people that are. So I'm okay with the bungalow ban as long as you're not using that as an excuse to never go out.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I still haven't found like the magic LA bar. I don't know if it exists. It's going to be, you know, you got to put in work anywhere you go. There's nothing here that's going to compare it to, you know, bars abroad.
Right. But it's no Zimpla.
Yeah. It's no Zimpla. Yeah. It's no Ibiza.
Yeah. Ibiza. That's right.
Ibiza
versus Itaca.
Yeah. Exactly, right? Like Itaca, it's not going to happen there.
Right. It's just not.
Yeah.
And Park Residence is even better.
Oh, yeah. Park Residence. It's no Park Residence, man.
And for those of you who don't know, we're talking about venues on the Europe trip in Odessa, Ukraine. Park Residence, Ibiza Nightclub, and Itaca, they're all in Odessa. Probably the best bars in the world, especially compared to shitty LA bars.
Oh God, yeah. And I feel like, you know, the really good LA bars, it's just like getting into them is such a fucking production, you know? It's like all those bars we talked about, you just pretty much just walk in and pay like what, $5 or something, almost no line. You can wear whatever.
Yeah.
LA is just like such a production.
Exactly.
Just getting into the damn place.
Well, there's a terrible ratio in LA, and that's the difference. In Ukraine, they need more guys to come and pay for drinks, so they'll welcome you with open arms, regardless of who you know or what you look like.
The shores of paradise, as Ruth would say.
The shores of paradise. That's good. That was all the kind of content I wanted to go over. I wanted to talk about that shift in dating versus social circle. Anyone else have anything specific they wanted to touch on or talk about? Challenges?
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.